them know how glad you are to see him here. Oh, we're so thankful to have each and every one of you out here on a cold, wet, rainy Sunday morning. We're glad that you are have made it. I also want to say a big God bless you to all of our dream team who make services like this possible, especially this morning, every one of our volunteers who worked in the parking lot. Every one of our dream teamers out there, could we give them a round of applause? I drove up this morning and it was wet and rainy, and they're out there in their with their pullover raincoats and umbrellas, and they're in a circle all joined hands praying. And that's the difference just between working and volunteering. They're doing it for you. And they're praying that your life is touched this morning. And that's not only the only prayer that's been made for you. We've been praying all week for these services, all week for you, that God does something really wonderful in your life this weekend. I want to invite you all to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning, I'll make mention of something. You guys know that every month we do a big give, where we give over and above our monthly giving as a church. And last month, in the month of November, we gave away some motorcycles to some ministers and preachers and pastors over in Mozambique. It's a very hilly country and very just rugged country. And so many of the pastors were walking to and from their churches to go preach that they requested that we give bicycles and or motorcycles. And so some businessmen in the church gave the bicycles, the church gave motorcycles, and here you see some of the motorcycles and bicycles being distributed. You can see some of the hillside country there and how rugged the land is. These are all the people coming to go see the big give, to see the bicycles being handed out. This is one of the pastors who got one of the bicycles. It'll keep turning. There's one picture that I really love more than the others. This is one of the motorcycles you bought. This is one of the employees of the Bible school handing it over to a pastor. That's the guy who started this ministry work there in Mozambique years ago, him and his wife. That's him handing over the motorcycle keys to one of the pastors. And watch his response when they bring him the motorcycle, how thankful he is for what God has done in his life. So incredibly blessed by your seed into him. He's going to put it to amazing, incredible use for the kingdom of God. You can see the whole community is excited for him and how blessed he is to be able to do that. Now, I show you these pictures for a reason, because this is what this church is all about. And what I want to talk to you today is, this is what I want to encourage your life to be all about. And this is why God has set some things up in his kingdom and in your life, not to take something from you, but rather to make your life move from just success over to significance. Success often has what we do for ourselves. That's basically its definition. But significance is based off of what we do for others. And God has designed us all to be interdependent upon each other, that something about our life is supposed to touch the lives of someone else. And what I want to move this church even deeper into, because I think we're already deep, I just want us to go deeper, is for us to view our lives as a partnership. And I'm going to use that word a lot during this service, to use our lives as a partnership with God. Now, our last couple of weeks, we've talked about tithing, and in fact, if on the screens you can pull up the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, in the Message Bible on the screens, Malachi 3 and verse 6, in the Message Bible, we've been talking about tithing, and I've said repeatedly that I understand that that can be a very, very uncomfortable subject for many people to hear, because there has been a lot of misteaching on the subject of giving, where it's become very selfish in nature. And as we've already stated, and we'll state again today, this church, if you're not presently giving to it, doesn't need any extra income. We are abundantly blessed. In fact, for the month of December, because I anticipate there will be a bump, that there may be some people who weren't giving before that now are giving, in the month of December, every penny we make above our expenses, every bit of profit we make, we are going to give to world missions. So if there is any bump that comes from your tithes and offerings, we will not receive it. We'll not put it in coffers. We are going to turn it around and give it right back to world missions. In fact, my goal is to give almost, and probably will exceed this, $100,000 to world missions this month. Amen. And so with that, we are incredibly blessed as a church. If you say, I'll never give a penny to that church, but you feel convicted by this sermon to take your partnership with God a little bit higher, but you say, I don't want to give it to that church because all they want is my money. If you feel that way, fine. You can give your money to another church. This is not about doing anything for this church in particular. This is about God's kingdom. We're blessed as a church. All our needs are met. All our desires are fulfilled. We are abundantly blessed here at Word of Life. This is something I feel like God wants to do in your life for you. I mentioned earlier this year that I was on vacation. It's good to stay rested, good to go on vacation. I've never had vision for life come when I was tired. It's always been when I'm rested. And so if you're tired, you need to rest. That's where you get vision for what's next. And we were on vacation, took a family vacation to the beach. And I was sitting underneath an umbrella because I have to. I burn very, very easy. You can ask my wife. I take like the SPF 90 and just rub it all over. But with that, I'm sitting underneath the umbrella trying to stay out of the sun on the beach. And it's definitely a harder task than it sounds like. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I just got done playing with my kids, sitting underneath the umbrella. I pull out my prayer journal. Anytime I pray, I like to have a little journal with me. It's good to do that when you pray as well, because that means you're actually expecting the Lord to say something to you. You go in there expecting to hear from Him, to get direction. God likes that when you approach prayer in faith. So I pull out my journal. I'm just praying in the Spirit underneath the umbrella, real quietly, just spending some time with the Lord. And the Lord starts speaking to my heart. He reminded me of something. In fact, I thought about this morning on the way over here. Years ago, when I first started pastoring, I went to go visit a relative in another state. And we were driving down this interstate, and I saw a new church that was built, and I asked the guy about the church. And it evolved from asking about that church, talking about the church scene in that community as a whole. And he said, there are kind of two dominant churches within the community right now, and he listed one, and he said, it's one of the fastest growing churches in all of America. In fact, I think it is the fastest growing church in all of America, doing some neat things in the kingdom of God within that community, small groups, multiple campuses, all these other things. And he said, then there's this other church that's really kind of catching some steam and some headway. But he said, they're more missions focused. It's not just about growing the church, but it seems like they're trying to grow the church on purpose, for a purpose. Not just so they could say they have a church that's a large church, but so that they can do something in the world. They're heavy on missions. And at the time, our church definitely gave to missions, but nothing like we do now. And when he said that, it made an impression upon my heart. And I was impressed not by the fastest growing church, but I was impressed by the church that had a missionary focus. Just made an impression on me as a young man. So anyway, as I'm having this time, the Lord reminds me of that. Reminds me of that conversation I had with that relative about the church scene in that community. And then he dealt with me, and you've heard me say this earlier in this year, about the story of Moses and Joshua. You know the story when Joshua was out there fighting in the field. Basically, God brought water forth from a rock in the middle of a desert. That place instantly became very valuable real estate. So a band of raiders came up to try to take that real estate from the children of Israel. And Moses, instead of going out in the field to fight against the people who were coming to try to take the land, instead went up on the hill. And he sent Joshua into the field to fight. And Moses on the hill lifted up his rod, which represented spiritual power, spiritual authority. It wasn't power that was coming from Moses. It was power that was coming from God. And as long as Moses lifted up that power that was coming from God, something happened out in the field. Joshua was winning. When the rod was lifted up on the hill, Joshua was winning in the field. The problem was, as Moses' hands started to get tired, His arms started to get weak. And when he lowered the rod, that power ceased, and it hurt Joshua in the field, and the enemy started winning. Well, two men named Aaron and Hur saw this, so they made a decision they would help Moses. And how they would help Moses is to help Moses prop up his arms. One came on one side, the other one came on the other side to lift up his arms so that the rod could stay lifted. The end of the story was, as long as the rod was lifted, the children of Israel won the battle, and Moses and Aaron and Hur kept the rod lifted up long enough until the battle was completely won. And the Lord dealt with me. He dealt with me about this church. And God has made this church strong. I haven't made this church strong. The Lord has blessed this church. We are incredibly strong, so strong that we could give an entire month's worth of profit to world missions. He's given us that strength financially. He's given us that strength in membership. He's given us that strength in visitor numbers. He's given us that strength from an economic standpoint. We are a very strong church. And he dealt with me that this strength is not here just for us to enjoy it on the hill. That the strength that he's given us is so that we could help some missionaries do some work in the field to take some new territories for the Lord. And with that, we have embraced that role like never before, and next year we'll embrace it even to a greater degree than we presently are. So with this, I really sense as if that this is what these messages have all been about. It's not about us, per se, just as what's going on here in Word of Life, because we're abundantly blessed. It's about God doing something through you out in the world. That God wants to use you like an Aaron and a Hur, to lift up the arms of this church, because the more strength we have as a church, it's not so the church can do more for employees here. It's so that we can do more in the world. The Lord will take care of us, don't misunderstand me. But the purpose of what God has always sought in the world is partnership. Started all the way back with Adam in the garden, that it wasn't just God blessing Adam, and it wasn't just Adam blessing God, but it was them working with each other in a partnership. And God has always sought that. Now, partnership has its nature when each person's life benefits the other. If we engage in a business partnership, if I said, hey, I'm going into business with you, it means that I'm bringing something to the table and you're bringing something to the table. As soon as partnership loses its benefits for one party or the other, it ceases to be a partnership. And in Malachi chapter 3, what God is talking about here is not just people giving money, it's partnership. Now, we said last week that the tithe is a big deal. I understand it's an incredibly big deal. That's a lot of money for everyone here. That's why God gave a percentage and not just a particular amount, to put everyone on an even playing field. I get it. And so we said last week, since tithing is a big deal, we need to make it a big deal. It's a time to honor God. I'm not just to cut that check like any other check I cut. I need to honor God with my first fruits. I need to put my heart in my giving. It is a big deal, so I need to make it a big deal in my household. But it was far more than that with God in the book of Malachi. That was the first thing he dealt with them on, is this is about honor. It's not about money, it's about honor. But the second thing he dealt with them on is this issue of understanding partnership and how it works. Let's look at it here, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to look at it in the Message Bible. He says, I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed, and because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, have not been destroyed. Verse 7, you have a long history of ignoring my commands. You haven't done a thing I've told you. Now notice this, return to me so I can return to you. This is a partnership. I need you to do something. Why? So I can do something. He goes on and says the God of the angel armies. And you ask, but how do we return? He answers them, begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you have robbed me day by day. And you ask, how have we robbed you? In the tithe and in the offering. That's how. That's very strong. Now we know the tithe is the first 10% of any increase that comes into our life. And offering is a free will gift. It's where either God deals with your heart to give or you purpose in your heart to give above and beyond the 10%. Now watch this. He says in verse 9, and now you're under a curse, even the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Verse 10, bring your full tithe, now notice this, to the temple treasury so that there will be ample provisions in my temple. Now we know the temple today would be called the church, the place where you would come and bring your tithe, bring your offering. And notice he says, here's why I want you to give. I want you to be interested in my house. I want you to be interested in my temple. I want you to be interested in my church. And I want you to make it your priority to see that my church is amply provided for. Well, why? The purpose of every church is like this church. Our goal, our first priority, is to help other churches here establish the kingdom of God within this community. No church by itself can do it, and we thank God for all the other churches that are here. We're not in competition with any church, and there are so many great churches in the Jackson metro area, be it Cross Gates, Pine Lake, any of the other churches that are around here. We want God to bless them and increase them all. We are partners with them in establishing the kingdom of God within this community. Not competitors, partners. With this, that's our first priority, is to help all the churches in the Jackson metro area fulfill the mandate of the kingdom of God in establishing God's kingdom in the earth. That's job number one. But as we're doing that, something should happen. The church begins to grow. If you do that effectively, you're not just making converts, you're making disciples, which means you've got multiple services and people coming and filling in the place and giving back to the church, which makes it, like our church is now, very, very strong. Then you take that strength and send it all over the world, because remember, Jesus has a huge desire, and his desire is to come for his church. But he will not come until we do our job and evangelize the world for him. That's my job, and it's also your job to make sure his church can fulfill its purpose in the earth. Now he says that's your part of the partnership. Your part of the partnership is to make sure my church has ample provisions in it. Then he says, but that's not the end of the deal, because this is not just me trying to get something from you. I'm actually trying to get something to you, and we'll tell you why in a minute. He says, test me in this. Notice this middle part. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Keep going. Verse 11. He says, for my part. God's got a part, I've got a part. It's a partnership. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers, the message of the God of the angel armies. Verse 12, you'll be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God says so. The difference between serving God and not serving him. He says you'll see the difference between being in partnership with God and not being in partnership with him. He says there will be a tangible difference in your life when you serve God, when you enter over into a partnership to take care of his interest. This is the deal God's made with everyone who's taken on this mindset of partnership. You use your resources to take care of my kingdom, and I will use my power to bless your resources. So much so that the King James says, I'll open up the windows of heaven so wide and pour out a blessing, you won't have room enough to receive it. The Message Bible translates that as God will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Then he says, I'll also do something else for you. I'll protect your interest. I'll stop any thief from attacking you. Why? It's in God's best interest. Why? I'm a partner with him. If he increases the piece of the pie I'm eating, and he always gets a piece of the pie, his piece gets bigger because the pie got bigger. Does that make sense? It's in his best interest to bless you because you're turning right around and being a blessing to him. He says, when you take care of my kingdom, I will take care of your kingdom. Now, what's interesting is all throughout Scripture, this is in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven. In the New Testament, Jesus talked more about money than he even did hell. In the New Testament, Jesus talked more about money than he did faith. He talked more about money than he did prayer. And the reason why is Jesus said, in this world, you have one of two masters. It's either going to be me, Jesus, or it's going to be money. It's very interesting he didn't say it's either going to be me or it's going to be the devil, because no one's going to purposely say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to serve the devil. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve Satan. That sounds like a great idea. He knew. The devil even knows. That's not a smart idea. No one in their right mind would say that. But what he would knew is money would be, the devil knew, that money would be a very attractive lord. And for many people, money is their lord. Well, what's lordship? Lordship is when something or someone is your lord, it tells you what to do. Meaning your money starts telling you when you can be happy and when you can't be. You look at those bills and you decide, I can't be happy. Or I look at the money in the bank and say, I can be very happy. Or you look at that money and say, I can be very comfortable. Or you look at that money and it makes you very uncomfortable. Or it looks at that money, it tells you what you can and can't buy. You look at that money and it tells you what you can and can't give. And you want to give, but money's telling you you can't. Jesus said, you've got one or two lords. Either going to be me, it's going to be money. So I'm going to talk about money a good bit so you can see how this whole thing works. And one of the examples that Jesus did in talking about money is found right here in Luke chapter 12. Let's look at it here. Luke 12 and verse 16. Everyone say this while you're turning. Say, it's a partnership. Oh, you sound so good. It's a partnership. Luke 12, verse 16. And Jesus is speaking here. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. A ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, a lot of people would say, well, there you go. That's the problem, all these rich people. Well, before you start judging rich people, be very, very careful. Did you know that if your household income, as far as what your household brings in, if it's over $38,000 before taxes a year, you are in the top 1% of wealthiest people in the world? Top 1%. You're a 1%er. If your household brings in over $38,000 before tax dollars into your house, you're in the top 1% of wealthiest, richest people in the world. So you may not feel rich, but it doesn't mean you're not rich. So if somebody would come and say, look at them. They've got running water. They're rich. Look at them. They got presents under. They're rich. They got a car. Are you kidding me? A car. They are rich. See, rich is a very relative word. And he says, a certain rich man, which chances are many of you in here this morning are in the top 1%, it brought forth more. Now, up to this point, God doesn't have a problem with this. How do we know he doesn't have a problem with it? Because we just read in Malachi, and there are plenty of other scriptures that state this too, God wants us to have things that bring forth plentifully. He wants us to have more than enough. But he also wants, when this happens, for us to have a certain mindset. It's a mindset of partnership. Notice this in verse 17. And he, this rich man, thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, I know what I'll do. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, look, you've got much goods laid up for many years. Now you can just eat, drink, and be merry. Now what did he do? He saw a lot of increase coming in his life. He said, what am I going to do with all this increase? He said, ha, I know what I'll do. I will build for myself a greater life than the life I have now. I'll tear down my barn, I'll build a greater barn. I'll lay up all these goods in my house and just sit back, take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I have more than enough. And watch what God comes and says. Watch this in verse 20. But God said unto him, you fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. And then those things that be, what will be of those things which thou hast provided. Now notice verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, did God have a problem with this man being rich? No. In fact, it's impossible to be rich towards God unless you were rich first. He didn't even have a problem with him laying up treasure for himself. He said, for this man lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Meaning God doesn't care how much stuff you have. He cares how much stuff has you. It's a partnership. And what this man failed to do was to carry out his end of the bargain. To carry out that the purpose of all of this increase is not just so I can live a greater life, but so that I can take care of God's purposes in the earth as well. Now, a lot of people would think, well, see, once again, there's just God trying to get something from man. No, no, no. Remember, it's a partnership. It's not just God looking to get something from you. He's looking to get something to you as well. And this is why God didn't finish the story just with that. Jesus keeps talking here. And notice what he says. Let's read verse 21 again. He says, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, he continues this thought, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, neither for your body, what you will put on. He says, look, the body is more than meat, and life is more than that. He said in verse 24, consider the birds, for they neither sow nor reap, and neither do they have a storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. Aren't you better than a bird? Yes, you are. And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? If ye then been able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? He said, look at the flowers, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. If God so clothed the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And you seek not what you will eat or what you will drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Notice verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth you have need of these things. God says, I'm not sitting up in heaven trying to keep all of these things from coming to you. In fact, I'm trying to get them to you. I know you have need of them. But let me show you how I operate in verse 31. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. What's he saying? He's saying God wants to do something amazing in your life. But he needs you to do something. He needs you to see this is a partnership. That I view my life as a ministry. There's a wonderful book. I just listened to it this past week on audio tape. You can order it off Amazon, and we're going to get it in the bookstore. It's called The Monk and the Merchant. And it talks about how these two roles, the priest and the king, how they operate together in life. And with it, it reveals this principle. That if you are working a secular job, you have to see that secular job as your ministry. And that you should actually seek to excel as much as you can on the job. Why? Because you're not just doing it for your interest. You're doing it for his interest as well. I'll give you an example. Say I was traveling to a foreign land, just out in the middle of nowhere, I'm going out there. And I have no way to get money back to my wife. Now, I love my wife. I mean, I love her more than I could even put into words. And I want to provide for her, protect her, and make sure her and my kids have more than enough. But for whatever reason, I was in a place where I couldn't give them any money. But what I could do is to use you. And so say I came to Dean and I approached his wife, Nikki. They've been a part of the church for years, just wonderful additions to the church family. And I approached Nikki and said, look, I'm traveling into a distant place. And I need to take care of my wife, but I can't send her money. But what I can do is bless you. And I want to make a deal with you. I want to become partners with you. Here's the deal I'll make. If you use your resources to take care of my wife, I'll use my power to bless your resources. And we agree upon an amount, 10%. You take 10%. If you want to give more than that, that's between you and my wife. If you want to give above that, that's great. But we agree on 10%. You'll take the first 10% and take care of my wife and my kids first. I can't take care of them, but I'll bless you, provide you with resources, enable you to do that. So we enter into that partnership, and she says, sounds like a great idea to me. You keep the blessing coming. I'll keep the care going to your wife. Sounds like a plan. And then I approach, and I had to think of someone, because they're going to be on the negative end of this equation, who doesn't go to the church. So I'm going to pick my wife's sister, Tara. If you spell Tara backwards, it says a rat. And so with that, I approach Tara, her sister, and said, look, I'm traveling to a faraway nation, and I want to make a deal with you. Let's enter into covenant. We're going to be in partnership. Here's the deal. You use your resources to take care of my wife, and I'll use my power to bless your resources. In fact, I want you to test me in this. Test me and see if you take my wife's best interest at heart, if I will not bless you beyond your wildest dreams. She says, all right, I'll do it. I agree with it. So a couple of months go by, and I'm finally able to contact my wife, and I call her up and I ask her, how's everything going? How's everything there? She says, oh, it's going really, really well. I said, okay, give me an update as to what's going on. She says, well, Nikki just absolutely loves doing this. I mean, she comes over to the house as much as she can to see if I need anything. The first check she writes is to take care of the kids. And in fact, she came in the house the other day and saw that we didn't have a lot of milk in the fridge and didn't have a lot of groceries. And she even went to the grocery store and brought back groceries to put in the fridge. She said it's the honor of her life to take care of me. That she sees that the reason why she's able to do it is because your blessing is on her life. And she knows she wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for you and trusting her with those resources. So she's over here all the time. In fact, there was a storm the other day, and she came right over, called to make sure we were safe and taken care of. I couldn't be more blessed. Oh, it's wonderful, I tell her. That sounds just amazing. And I say, well, what about Tara? Well, Tara, we haven't heard from her in quite a little while. It's been the first month it was there steadily coming, but last couple of months, we haven't been able to get a hold of her. And she said it was because her number changed, but one time I called her from a different number and she picked up. And I just, I'd love to think that maybe she's just out there, but, you know, we just haven't really seen her in a while. And so I call up my stewards, because there's always an account of stewardship. And especially in Jesus' terms. In fact, in Luke 12, there's an example of this. Calls up the stewards and to see, what have you been doing with the money? You remember an example of this was this parable of the talents. To one he gave five, to another one he gave two, to another one he gave one. He was expecting them to do something with it. Remember the one he gave one to? The one he gave one to didn't do anything with it. Now, the guy could have spoke up and said, well, master, I didn't use your money to do anything bad with it. I didn't spend it on drugs or alcohol or partying or any of these things. But the Lord said, I know you didn't do anything bad with it. That's not the problem. The problem is you didn't do anything good with it either. Stewardship. And so with this, I call my stewards. I call Nikki, I call Tara and say, let's give an account for your stewardship. And I tell Nikki, Nikki, you got some blessings coming your way. Why? It's in my best interest to increase, Nikki. Not just in her best interest. It's in my best interest. Why? Because if I make Nikki's pie bigger, that means my wife's slice got bigger too. Does that make sense? So it's in my best interest to see Nikki has as much as possible. Because Nikki has proven that I can increase her pie. And the more I increase what I give her, the more is going to go to my wife to take care of her. Well, Tara, I come and say, what's going on here? I've used my power to bless your resources. You have this in your life because it came from me. What's going on here? Give an account for your stewardship. And the temptation would be for me to cut off some of that support that I'm sending because it's not a partnership at that point. It's solely covetousness. It's solely the love of money, the love of possessions. In 1 Timothy, where he wrote about the love of money being the root of all evil, right after that, he talks to rich people. Somebody said, well, he's talking to everyone else. No, remember, if you make over 38,000 in a year, you're in the top 1% of the world. He says, charge them who are rich that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. He says, look, if you've got money, I want you to enjoy. Enjoy your house. Enjoy the iPhone. Enjoy giving kids gifts on Christmas. Enjoy it. But also understand this is a partnership. I want you to be rich in good works. I want you to be ready to distribute. And I want you to be willing to communicate. Not only doing good in this life, but soaring, shoring up a firm foundation in the life that which is to come. What's he saying? Partnership. I'll bless you even more so that you can enjoy your life more than ever before. In fact, you'll be voted happiest nation, that people will say this is the nation where God's grace rests upon. God's grace rests upon that family. Because you understand how this works. See, here's the deal. There's something God loves. I mean, he's incredibly passionate about it. And it's the world. Now, we're part of the world. But there's a whole nother part of the world that's not being reached. And God, in his infinite love, loves all those pastures there in Mozambique. And he sees they need transportation. It would make their lives easier. It would make their ministry more effective. The problem is God can't rain down from heaven motorbikes. But what can he do? He can make a deal with you. He can make a deal with me. I'll take care of your interest. You take care of my interest. And right now, I'm incredibly interested in these pastures having transportation. Will you make it your interest? It's a test. If you say yes to that test, then I've proven to God he can make my pie bigger, because it's just going to make his piece bigger too. It's in his best interest to bless me. God cares about all those kids in Poindexter. God bless my heart to see how the church responded. We had 172 kids, and they were taken after the first service. I mean, you guys snatched them up to buy them bikes and Legos and all of that. What is that? It's partnership. God loves those kids. He wants you to love them too. He says, if it's the honor of your life to do stuff like that, you better get ready for your wildest dreams to be fulfilled. I'm going to bless your socks off. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. You don't have room enough to receive the blessing I'm about to pour out on you. Why? It's a partnership. It's a partnership. I'll give you an example of this in closing, my closing example. I do two small groups every week. I do one on Tuesdays, another one on Fridays. I enjoy them. And this week, they were great. The first one on Tuesdays for ministers, the other one's for businessmen on Friday. In fact, some of the guys don't even go to the church, which is even more fun. Because I like reaching people and seeing different points of view. So with this, one of the guys in my small group, he sees his life this way. He sees it as a ministry. Now, he's in business, but he sees his business as a ministry. He's a king, and a king's supposed to take dominion. And I will not yield a segment of the business to an ungodly believer who's going to use that money to do harm in the earth. That I will take over every bit of that business that I can for God's glory and for his kingdom. And if there ought to be any company that's succeeding, it ought to be a Christian company. Why? Because of this reason. Partnership. My ministry is to help fund the kingdom of God and the earth. And he's caught this. Somewhere in his life, it came from his parents, I'm sure, and the other influences in his life. He caught this. He caught this principle. And so he's sitting in service, not this service, the time they went to another church. He's sitting in service, and one of the missionaries gets up. They had a missionary in to speak. One of the missionaries gets up and talks about the need for blankets in a community. There are a lot of people without homes at all over where they were at, and they needed blankets to keep warm. The temperature was about to drop over there. They needed blankets. You think God cares about that? You better believe he does. What's he need? He needs a partner who will care about it as much as he does. And so the whole time this lady's talking about blankets, He's getting it on his heart. Buy blankets. Buy blankets. Buy them the blankets. You don't know how much it's going to cost, how many blankets they need. So he goes up to the missionary at the end of it, finds out the information, and determines in his heart to pay whatever cost it needs to get blankets to those people. What is that? He sees his money is not just his money. He's in partnership with God. If God's interested in it, I'm going to be interested in it too. So with this, he cuts the check, buys the blankets. Well, at the same time all this is going on, they also toured one of the St. Jude Dream Homes. And they're in it, and they get a witness. This is our home. They just knew. This is our home. They knew it. They knew it. Well, to make a long story short, the day for the St. Jude drawing came. And guess what happened during the same day as the St. Jude drawing? The people he bought the blankets for received their blankets. That morning, they received the blankets. Then they went on TV and did the drawing, and he's sitting in his house. Sitting in his house watching the drawing, they pull out the little deal from the hopper, all these thousands of people, and read off his name. He won the house. And somebody says, that's just coincidence. I'll take some coincidence. I don't know about you. I'll take a little bit more coincidence. I think it's a spectacular example of the power of God. Now, hear me. I'm not saying everyone here is going to win a house. Understand, you're probably not going to win a house. God does not typically operate that way. God's always supernatural, but very seldom is the supernatural spectacular. An example would be Jesus being born in a manger, not in a palace. Incredibly supernatural, not so much spectacular. But sometimes God does work in something called suddenlies, where suddenly there's a huge breakthrough. You're bound in prison and suddenly you're loosed and freed. Breakthrough. Sometimes that does happen. But here's my point. Why was God able to do that? Partnership. God doesn't care what house you live in. He wants you to be blessed. He's your Father. But what He does care about is if you care about that house more than you care about His kingdom. Because see, it's His job to think about your house. It's your job to think about His partnership. You know what He did with the house? He calculated how much it was worth, and He tithed off of it. Why? He saw it as increase. The Lord blessed him with this. So he's going to honor the Lord with that. That's why God is able to do things for people like that. Then guess what? I love this part of the story. He's praying one day and the Lord deals with his heart. Get the house reappraised. So he gets the house reappraised. And the reappraisal came back significantly lower than the first appraisal. Which means when he has to pay taxes on all that, they base the taxes based off of the appraisal. And he submits the second appraisal versus the first appraisal. And guess how much money he saved in taxes? The exact amount of money he tithed. Didn't cost him a penny to do it. Why? God says, I'll take care of your house when you take care of my house. It's a partnership. What I want every one of us to do, and I'm speaking to myself as much as I am anyone, is to really dedicate our lives to be partners. And for those of you who already are partners, like we are at this church with the world, like I said, this is not about trying to get more money. If you give any extra money to this church that you're giving already, it's only going to World Missions this month. We're not going to take any extra money, any profit. Every penny we make over our normal expenses is going to go to the world. We want to be a blessing, sow seed for the new year. But with this, it's about God judging our heart to see how far He can take us. And friends, I want to encourage each one of us to look at our lives as funnels for the kingdom of God to flow through, to do something in the earth that He cares about. And then He comes right back and says, okay, what do you care about? All right, you care about that? Consider it done. Consider that need met. I know you would be tempted to take thought about that. Take no thought for it. I'm just going to add it to you. I'm just going to lay it beside you. I'll take care of your interest because you've been taking care of my interest. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray before we leave. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience to speak to. Always such a joy.